I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here. We're looking very carefully at one very famous space company, SpaceX, which is all things to all people. Starlink, it's about brains telling the parts of the body to move. Incredible activity. Now it's about Tesla, something like a flying cab. I don't know. It's all Dick Tracy. But what we care about is the fifth test of Starship and also the other commitments that SpaceX has made. One of them is about ISS. I'd forgotten about it. Bob, a very good evening to you. What about ISS? What has Musk done now?
Yeah, well, it's not what he's done. It's what others are trying to do to him. I have a whole bunch of stories about how a whole range of government and fringe activist groups are trying to block SpaceX in every way, shape, and form. And in the process, the administrative state is trying to grab more power. First story has to do with the EPA. The EPA has told NASA that, working with a number of activist groups, that it wants the right to regulate how ISS is deorbited. And the argument has to do with polluting the ocean with the ISS. And so environmental EPA is now stating that they should have the right to regulate how things are deorbited and dumped anywhere. And that includes in the ocean. And they want to have a say in how ISS is deorbited. And SpaceX is related to this because SpaceX has got the contract to do the deorbiting right now. And so obviously they're stepping in because somehow SpaceX is involved. I suspect that's the case. It's also a case they don't have the statutory authority to do this EPA, but it's now taking on that statutory. It's just writing new law, essentially. It says, we're going to do this. We're going to take it over. And it's basically a shot across the bow. The EPA wants to have the right to regulate space operations. And if they have the power to determine how anything gets deorbited and block the deorbiting, they could essentially block anything getting launched because a lot of things have to come down in the ocean. And it doesn't do any harm to the ocean. So that's the first story. Second story has to do with SpaceX more directly in California. Okay, SpaceX and the Space Force want to increase the number of launches at Vandenberg Air Force Base. They're right now approved for about 36 launches a year. And that's not just SpaceX. That includes other companies as well. And the Space Force wants to increase that up to 50 launches a year from Vandenberg. They always have cooperated with a commission in California called the California Coastal Commission. In other words, the Space Force legally can launch as much as it wants at Vandenberg. It controls the property, it's a military base, and it can do what it wants. But they've always worked with this Coastal Commission to get permission and get their approval for what they do, for whatever they do. The Coastal Commission's job is to protect the California coast for all future present and future users. That runs from beachcombers to rocket companies. They're supposed to try to work out deals so that everyone can function successfully without damaging the coast significantly. But this Coastal Commission, when it was given this request by the Space Force, they had a meeting this week in which the Coastal Commission voted down, rejected the military's plan. They said, no, we don't want it. And what was interesting is why they didn't want it. It wasn't because it was going to threaten the coast in any way, shape, or form. It was because of Elon Musk. Let me quote two commissioners. This is Gretchen Newsom. I don't know if she's related to the governor. You might be able to tell me that, John. But she said, Elon Musk is hopping around the country, spewing and tweeting political falsehoods and attacking FEMA while claiming his desire to help the hurricane victims with free Starlink access to the internet. The other commissioner, Carol Hart, I really appreciate the work of the Space Force, but here we're dealing with a company, the head of which has aggressively injected himself into the presidential race, and he's managed the company in a way that was just described by Commissioner Newsom that I find very disturbing. In other words, these commissioners voted against the Space Force's request for increasing launching, not because it might threaten the coast, but because one of the people who would benefit from those launches is a political opponent of theirs. They don't like his political opinions, and therefore they want to squelch him. This is so immoral and illegal, it's ridiculous, improper. It's violating Musk's First Amendment rights, and it's an abuse of power. I have a link on Behind the Black, by the way, to the Coastal Commission. If people in California wish to contact these commissioners and tell them what they think of it. The third story is there's a fringe group in southern Texas called Save RGV. RGV is Rio Grande Valley. Save RGB has been one of those groups that have been suing SpaceX routinely now for the last 4 years to try to block Boca Chica. They represent very few people in the southern in Brownsville area. Those people are very thrilled with SpaceX. It's bringing billions and billions of dollars and tens of thousands of jobs to an area that was depressed for decades. But Save RGB filed this week a lawsuit to block SpaceX from doing any further launches at Boca Chica. And the argument they're making is that the deluge system at the launch pad that's used to reduce the damage that might happen from the launch to the pad, that deluge system is depositing untreated industrial wastewater into the environment, and it violates the Clean Water Act and therefore should be stopped. The problem, and I've pointed this out before, the problem is that the water in the deluge system is potable drinking water, the equivalent of rainwater. In a single rainstorm, far more water gets dumped on Boca Chica than any particular launch here. So this is an absolutely absurd lawsuit, but it is a lawsuit that's timed right now to try to prevent what SpaceX hopes to do this weekend, which is launch Super Heavy Starship for the fifth time. They do not yet have FAA approval. This lawsuit is a great way to force the FAA to not give that approval this weekend. I right now have doubts that launch is going to happen this weekend, John, but we'll find out. By the end of today, we'll know, because or maybe tomorrow, the FAA will finally give us a decision on whether it's going to issue a launch license.
Bob, let us leave SpaceX into the politics of the moment and look to Haven 1. What is that?
In a sense, John, this is SpaceX 2 to a certain extent. Haven 1 is a privately funded, entirely privately funded space station built by a company called VAST. Haven 1 is their first station. It's only going to be a single module. It will be launched on a Falcon 9 rocket. It's intended to launch in 26 and be followed immediately by another launch, bringing four astronauts to this module to stay there for 30 days. There is no NASA money involved in this particular space station. Well, this week, they unveiled their first preliminary design of what the interior of that module will be like, how they're structuring it, how they're going to address it, where the crew compartments are going to be, laboratory facilities, et cetera, et cetera. It's very preliminary. It's very simplistic graphics. But nonetheless, they now have a layout for the interior of that first module as they move towards their first launch. And the reason it has to do with SpaceX is because this private company is hiring a private company, SpaceX, to do the launch using Dragon capsules and Falcon 9 rockets. And they are probably going to be the first private station to launch ahead of any of the other commercial stations that have NASA funding as well as private funding.
We move to a story that looks like it doesn't have SpaceX in it. I'm taking a risk here, Bob. But it looks like the Soyuz 5 rocket has been delayed to 26. Now, is Musk in Roscosmos?
No, this story really does have nothing to do with Elon Musk. I'm sorry, John. We might get back to him later, but no, this story has to do with Russia and Russia's own problems. Russia has been trying to develop a new version of its Soyuz rocket. They call it Soyuz 5. And they've been trying to develop this for several years. Their problem is that the only launch pad that's really designed to use this new rocket is one that's controlled by Kazakhstan. And back in 23, Kazakhstan seized control of that launch pad and has so far apparently refused to make a new deal with Russia to use it. I suspect that action by Kazakhstan has to do with the Ukraine invasion. They don't really trust Russia, and they're not willing to work with Russia or allow Russia to expand its operations in Kazakhstan at Baikonur. What Russia announced last week is that the first launch of the Soyuz 5 rocket is not going to happen in 25, as previously said, but it'll happen in 26. They didn't say why there was a delay. The reason I think the delay has occurred is because they're still not able to get a deal with Kazakhstan, and they're negotiating with them still, and it sits. Once again, this proves the absolute stupidity of the Russian invasion of the Ukraine. Kazakhstan, like all of Russia's neighbors now, really fears Russia and is reluctant to give them more control. That's what this story is about.
Japan's space agency, JAXA, was hacked. Who, Bob, and why?
We don't know who, though everyone assumes it's China. It could be North Korea, but that would be working with China. We don't really know, though. But last year they revealed, a few months ago, they revealed that the agency had been hacked over several years by this unknown source. Well, this week there was an update with more information. That hacking was more extensive than first revealed. It involved multiple attacks that not only obtained a lot of data from JAXA, but it also obtained a lot of data from third parties, both government and commercial, that were contained within JAXA's files. Some of these are major companies like NASA, European Space Agency, Toyota, Mitsubishi, Microsoft. And we don't know specifically at all. They also hacked into five of JAXA's 9-member board that runs the agency. But once again, we don't know who did this, but this happened to JPL about a decade and a half ago, and they're pretty sure that was China. This is the pattern that China has had for decades in space. They hack into and steal designs and then work from that to create their own.
Bob, is there sharing between NASA, ESA, and JAXA? Do we know if they're all friendly together?
Yes, they are. They work together. I mean, they're all partners on the International Space Station. So there's a lot of joint equipment knowledge between the three. So a hacking of JAXA is a hacking of NASA, especially if NASA has provided JAXA with a lot of information that they really do not want China to get.
All right, NASA, so that far. But does that mean they can reach into Blue Origin and SpaceX?
It's possible. It depends. It depends on what has been done. If SpaceX is doing something that relates to Japan, then JAXA might have that information. If SpaceX is doing something for NASA that is also related to Japan, such as Dragon launches to ISS, there could be information there that, yes, would apply to third parties.
Well, is there protest about this? Is there challenge? Is there noise? I mean, this is an
All we've got is that the JAXA is doing its best effort now to secure its systems to prevent this from happening again.
Oh, sounds a little passive. All right, the Dominican Republic, the Artemis Accords. Okay, DR for the moon.
This is the 44th nation to sign the Artemis Accords. The Accords were originally conceived by the Trump administration as bilateral agreements between the U.S. and other nations to establish an alliance that would hopefully work together to get around the Outer Space Treaty's limitations on free enterprise and private property. You get enough alliance together pushing for private property and ownership in space, they can then maybe push then to get the Outer Space Treaty changed or nullified. It appears the Biden administration has completely shifted focus, and they've now replaced the Artemis Accords goals with a Watertown quote, principles that support the safe and sustainable exploration of space that are grounded in the Outer Space Treaty. So I don't know if the Artemis Accords are going to accomplish much else but create a coalition of countries working with us. Most of the countries now signing are really just trying to get cash from the U.S. for the Artemis program, I think. It really depends on who's president coming up, because the Harris administration would probably continue this trend away from free enterprise with the Artemis Accords, and the Trump administration would probably return to that goal if it was took power. We'll have to wait and see.
Bob, we're not getting to the moon unless SpaceX flies. Is that correct?
Yes. So I mean, that's in a word, yes. I mean, so all the actions by government officials at agencies like EPA, Fish and Wildlife, FAA, and SEC and others to damage SpaceX is like one shooting one's foot off. Cutting one's nose despite one's face. It's absurd. But this is where we are right now with the Democratic and, I would say, anti-Musk partisanship within the federal government.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.